Well, it's a wonderful joy to be here today, and it's Resurrection Sunday. The greatest days in the Christian calendar. I'm grateful that people celebrate it all over the world. And what I'd like to share with you today is the hope of the resurrection. What Jesus Christ has accomplished and done for us, what God has done for us in raising our Lord and Savior, has given us the hope of the resurrection, which is probably the number one most important thing in our lives, because without it, there's no hope. There's no hope of eternal life. There's no hope. There's no point in being a God-fearing Christian. You know, that's what it says in Corinthians. Maybe we'll get there a little later. But go to Romans chapter 1 for a moment. It says in the book here in chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, it's talking about the gospel. Well, let's just read verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. This gospel of God, which he hath promised before by the prophets in the Holy Scriptures. This is talking about the Old Testament prophets. Everything in the Word of God is the gospel. It goes from Genesis to Revelation. And everything that's a part of the good news that is written is in these scriptures. And it's concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. The gospel is concerning his Son. The great subject of the Word of God is the Lord Jesus Christ, the kingdom and the Lord. And he was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead. The declaration that Jesus Christ is the Christ, that he is the Son of God, that he is the Redeemer, the Savior of all mankind, is by the Spirit of holiness, Almighty God himself. And the proof of it is that God raised him from the dead. There's a lot of prophets, there's a lot of religions, there's a lot of people who claim to be a lot of things, but there's only one who got up from the dead. There's only one that God raised from the dead, and that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That hope of a resurrection, God has put throughout the scriptures. And it's, I don't know, it's like the most important item in the scriptures when it comes to it, because there's no deliverance unless we are raised, unless we are changed. You know, Adam and Eve, when they had the... when they sinned, God told them that the consequence of their sin was death. Death. That was the consequence. The only deliverance from death is the resurrection. And that is why we have it. That is why he gave it. So in sending a Savior, he didn't explicitly tell them at that particular point in time in Genesis 3:15 that they were going to get up from the dead, but that was the obvious need. In the day that you eat thereof, this, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall die. You're going to die. And the only reason that they need a Savior is because... to free them from death. That's eventually going to come. And that's for all of us too. In the book of Job, if you go there in chapter 14, it speaks, it's Job is one of the earliest books written in the Bible. It was written before Moses wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, before the law was written. In the book of Job, in chapter 14, it says, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait until my change comes. And then in Job chapter 14, and the same thing, verse 14 again, where it talks about, but this is in the ESV, the English Standard Version. It says, if a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my service, I would wait until my renewal should come. Job was waiting for, he was complaining at the time that he was talking about this, but he knew that there would be a resurrection. He knew that there would come a time when his renewal would come. In the King James, when my change comes. Go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, and we'll start reading here in verse 16. It says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be of grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. For as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth or made alive the dead, and called those things which be not as though they were. Abraham believed in a God who would quicken or make alive the dead. Abraham never received the promises that God made to him during his lifetime. He said that he was going to have a seed. That seed is Christ in Galatians. He was going to have a seed, and it was going to come through his son, Isaac, Jacob, and so on, all the way through thousands of years later, and then the Christ came, that seed. God made a covenant with Abraham, and he made a covenant with Christ. Those two covenants are irrevocable. Abraham earned that covenant, earned it is not a good word for it. Abraham received that covenant. It was set to his account because he had faith. And God made that promise, that covenant. A covenant is an unrevocable promise to him, and he made an unrevocable promise to the coming seed, Christ. Everyone else has to believe like Abraham believed in order to receive it. We have to believe in the God who can raise the dead. So I just continue to read here. Who quickeneth the dead and called those things as though they were. Who against hope he believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he, Almighty God, promised, he was able also to perform. Abraham knew that these things would be. He knew that he would inherit the earth. He knew that he would inherit the land. and his prodigy, those that believed. The Messiah would inherit it for sure, and everyone who believed like he did would also inherit it. God says you're going to have like the stars of the heavens, so shall your seed be. But he never received it in his lifetime. He lived in a tent. He didn't own anything except the grave that he put Sarah in. So he will receive it when? When he's raised. When he is raised. But he was absolutely fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. Verse 22. And therefore it was imputed to him. Imputed is an old word, means to set to your account. It was credited to his account. Righteousness. Salvation. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Every one of us who believes that God raised our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, God imputes. He sets to our account this righteousness, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Without the resurrection, it's all for nothing. Jesus Christ's sufferings on the cross was for nothing. He earned nothing unless God raised him. It was the resurrection that sealed the deal. It was the resurrection where God Almighty announces, I have accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And the debt is paid. And he is, since he is our substitute, that when he died, we died. When he was buried, we were buried. It's just like we went through it. And then when he was raised, we will be raised. Just like him. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, I was reading today on the internet that there's a whole, in Nigeria, people are being killed pretty much daily for their Christian faith by the Muslims extremists that are there. When I went up to the men's conference, I heard that in the Republic of the Congo, 70 people went to church, and Timmy Paul lives there. You know, that's Timmy Paul's country. And 70 people went to church, and they were all beheaded that day because they were Christians. You know, this stuff is not far away. It's not a long time away. It's happening right now in the world we live. The evil that was, is, and will be until the Lord returns. You know, you and I think, have had it really, really, really easy. I'm pretty guaranteed that. I've never gotten a bloody nose because of my Christianity. Now, my brother has, but not me. That's another story. Not me. And at the most I've ever suffered is a few insults. Maybe didn't get a job or a promotion or whatever. No big deal. People lose their lives today because they're God-fearing Christians. Why will people literally lay down their lives for their faith? Because they know that this is true. Why would you suffer the cross? Why would the Lord suffer the cross? It was for the joy that was set before him. He knew what was coming. He knew that his Father would raise him from the dead. He knew that he would be at the right hand of the throne of God. He knows what's coming. He knows what's in eternity. You know? Why would the men and women who were behind closed doors for fear of the Jews during the crucifixion, why would Peter and the others, I mean, they were literally afraid for their lives. And then after the resurrection appearances of our Lord and they received the Holy Spirit, they knew that everything was true. But even the resurrection wasn't good enough because they all went back fishing. You know, unless Jesus was personally present in their lives, they didn't have the courage to keep going. Well, you have got Jesus Christ, our Lord, personally present in your life. You've got Christ in you, which is your hope of glory. You know, when you go down to the post office and you get one of those, I want to transfer my address to get the new address card, right? Just go down there one day and put glory in, because that's your future address. That's your hope of glory. Now, just to bring it back here a little bit, I've got a personal relationship with my Lord. I've got his counsel. I've got his help. I've got the power that I've been endued with because I've got the gift of the Holy Spirit within me. That's why you got the strength to put your life on the line. Now, there are plenty of cowards, and I get that. There are people who are cowards. Not everybody's got that kind of strength. But if you got a real relationship with Almighty God and your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if you understand what's been done for you, then you know that you got nothing to fear. Death is nothing to fear. Because you got eternity in front of you. You know that that day will come when he will return and he will raise us from the dead. These men and women, when they spoke the word, when Peter was speaking that day after Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verse 23, it says, when he's speaking to the people, it says, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Remember, he's got thousands of people in front of him. The same people that were yelling, crucify him, crucify him. The same elders that sent him and set him up to be crucified and killed. That wanted him killed his whole ministry. The first time he opened his mouth in Luke, first time. They wanted to kill him. That's what real evil is. And it's around us all the time. Like I said, I've escaped the clutches of such individuals. But believe me, it's right there. And you got to make up your own mind. Is this more important to you than your own life? Because if it is, you're like all the saints that have come before you that have stood for the Lord. Him being determined by the determinate counsel of God, by God's chosen will, God's plan, and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. to whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David spake concerning him. So Peter is willing to put his life on the line to speak these words to these thousands of people. And believe me, his life is on the line. And he knows it. He and the others, they all know it. And then Peter speaks of David. David also believed in the resurrection. Says, for David spake concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in the grave, in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known unto me the ways of life, and thou shalt make me full of joy in thy countenance, in thy presence. David is looking to be in the presence of Almighty God and our Lord forever. He knew that God would not leave his anointed one, his Messiah, in the grave. He wouldn't corrupt there. He knew that he would raise him. And he knows that he's going to be raised also. David was a prophet. See, this truth of the resurrection, this hope of the resurrection, has been all throughout the scriptures and the good news of the gospel here, all throughout the scriptures for centuries. It is the whole reason that you would suffer and die. It's the whole reason that all of these apostles of Jesus Christ, all of these individuals who walked with him, they put their lives on the line, and most of them, if not all of them, except for John that I know of, died and were martyred because of their beliefs. You know, people don't die for stuff that they don't believe in. People don't put their lives on the line for things that are stories. They know for an absolute fact that this is true, and therefore they were willing to put their lives on the line for it and suffer for it. You know, Paul certainly believed that. Paul certainly showed it to us by example. Go to, let me read a little bit more here. Verse 29 says, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you, the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, in the grave, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus, whom God raised up, wherefore we are all witnesses, therefore being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he hath showed forth this which you now see and hear. What they saw and heard that morning was they heard them all speak with tongues. They heard them all manifest the Spirit of God, praising God, speaking the wonderful works of God, magnifying God. with words that the Holy Spirit gave them to speak so that the people could understand. They had proof in the sense that they had manifested. They had proof in the sense that they had, these men had seen the resurrected Christ. They had received the Holy Spirit. They saw him go ascend into heaven and be seated at the right hand of God. They were told that he's going to come back in like manner as he went. So how's he going to show up again? He's going to show up the same way he left. He went up into heaven. He's coming back from. Go to John chapter 11. John chapter 11 is the record of Lazarus being raised. So how is this going to happen? How is our resurrection going to happen? We've read 100 times, I hope you have, of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. It happened after he was in the ground for 3 days, and the angel was sitting there and declared it. It's a great thing. God sent angels to declare to the shepherds that he was born, and God sent an angel to declare that he is risen. And then God inspired these wonderful people to write these words down so you and I could hear it and know it to be true. In John chapter 11, we'll start here in verse 23. This is Lazarus has died. He's a really good friend of Jesus Christ. In fact, this whole family is. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. I mean, she believes in the resurrection. Before her brother gets up, she knows that he's going to get up one day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly saying, the Master is come and called for thee. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. And now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. And the Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw that Mary and that she arose up in haste and went out and followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. And when Mary was come where Jesus was, she saw him, and she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother hath not died. And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Jesus Christ did not, you know, he was not without feeling. His good friend is dead. His other friends, Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha, if you'd been here, you wouldn't have died. Where were you? It's almost like, you know. And when he saw this all, and he saw them all, and he saw the hurt, he just cried. Then said the Jews, and they always do this somehow, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused even this man that he should have not died? And Jesus therefore again groaned in himself, and he cometh to the grave. And it was a cave, and a stone laid upon it. And Jesus said, take you away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinks, and he hath been dead 4 days. And Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou shouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? And when they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by me, I say it, that they might believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with the napkin. And Jesus said unto them, loose him, and let him go. And many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen these things which Jesus did, believed on him. Picture it. Jesus Christ says to them, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes on me is going to live. Though we were dead, he's going to live. And this guy's been in the grave for 4 days, is already decomposing. He's bound in the mummy kind of like clothes, all right? He's wrapped up, got a napkin over his face. He's totally bound up. Jesus Christ yells with a loud voice, Lazarus, get up. And he comes hopping out. I mean, picture this. Now, the Lord didn't redress him. He just raised him from the dead. And you know what? It's going to be just like that for me and for you. When he returns, he's going to command the dead, all those who have believed on him, and they're going to get up. Period. Go to John chapter 3. Verse 14. The message of the resurrection and eternal life has been a part of the scriptures from the beginning. As Moses, verse 14, it says, and as Moses was lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, do you remember the serpent in the wilderness? You know, it's that, what do they call it, the medical association? Huh? Yeah. So they got the pole. It's kind of like a cross type of thing. And then they got the serpent on the pole, twisted all around it. And when Moses put that up, the snakes and stuff that were killing the people because of their sins, if they looked at that, then they would be healed and they would be saved. Jesus Christ said, just like Moses put that pole out there so that the people with sins or whatever, if they looked upon this, the Son of Man's going to be lifted up just like that. And whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting, eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. See, the world is already condemned, and every individual in it. They were condemned by Adam. They were condemned. Sin, sickness, death entered into the world by Adam and his transgression, his disobedience to God. And it, as I taught a couple of weeks ago, it just infiltrated. It was passed on from one generation to the next to the next, just like a defect, just like a birth defect. It was a poison that was transferred all the way through mankind. And the only way out of this was Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross and us believing that he was our substitute, that he was dying for us, that his blood would cover us, that God would raise him from the dead. That is the truth. Because the world was already condemned, but those that believed on him, they'll receive everlasting life. In Mark chapter 8, yeah, I was talking to the other day, and I said to somebody, most of the people in the world don't believe what we're talking about this morning. You know, I think we live in like this little cocoon, little shell, you know, in our lives. Well, we think that there's an awful lot of people who believe that Jesus Christ got up from the dead. And there are a bunch. And there's an awful lot going to church this morning, which are celebrating it, but they're not connecting the dots here. They're not really connecting the dots as far as what the scriptures teach. And maybe you don't need to understand all the details. But you really do. If you're going to have any kind of strength in your life, and if you're not going to fear death, and if you know you're going to rejoice knowing that you're going to be with the Lord, then you got to have a little bit of understanding of this. This ain't about bunnies and chickens and eggs. You know, that's some other god put that in the mix here. That's a fertility thing from another god. That's got nothing to do with what we're talking about here. But we'll celebrate all that other god stuff. Like it's got something to do with the resurrection. Jesus Christ, when he was in towards this thing, Mark chapter 8 and verse 31, it says, "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days will rise again. And he spake this saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him." Peter didn't like that. You know? And then Jesus Christ said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." You know, there's no such things as having friends when it comes to the truth of the word. And there's certainly no such thing as worrying about people, what they feel, when they contradict the God Almighty, who is the one who's going to raise Jesus from the dead. You know, I don't know how to put it any other way. I mean, to balance it out. But Jesus Christ knew what he was going to have to do. And people did not expect this. They did not believe it. They did not accept it. And it was repugnant to them that he was talking about it, even to his closest guys. And I think that that's very true sometimes for people today. Why would you worship someone who says they're Lord? Why would you accept someone who is Lord, who died such a miserable death and was despised and spit upon? You know, that's why I think so many people have a hard time with it. You know, why would... I've had people walk away from God and the church by just saying, you know, "I just don't understand. How can God allow his son to go through all of that? What kind of a loving God is that?" I've had people who've lost loved ones say, "How can God allow this to happen?" And I'm not just talking about old people that are supposed to die. I'm talking about young ones, children. And just like when Jesus was standing there with Martha and Mary, you know, if this guy could heal the blind, if he was here, this guy wouldn't be dead. Again, everything's got a purpose. I don't pretend to understand it all. I know from those records that it was for the glory of God, so people would believe, so that you and I would have an example. Hey, this is the way it's going to happen. This is the way it's going to happen. But he taught them, and they were offended at what he was teaching them. He told them plainly, and yet when the day came, they weren't there at the grave to see him get up. Mary came down to the grave with spices to bury him properly. She didn't believe that he was getting up. I don't know why. Maybe it went over her head. Maybe it was just like it bounced off. But one way or the other, it didn't get in there, and she didn't believe it. And neither did any of the others. And yet God raised him from the dead when nobody expected it. Nobody believed it. And nobody's going to stop him from coming back the next time, even if there's nobody around to welcome him. It's going to happen the way God wants it. He's just letting us know. You know, there's many times Jesus looked at the crowd and said, "Will I find faith when the Son of Man comes back? Will I find faith on the earth?" I don't know. All I can do is take care of me. Look at John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour will come in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. It's going to be two resurrections. They're separated by about 1,000 years. Give or take, you know, not exactly. When our Lord comes back, all those who have believed on him will be raised. And the kingdom will commence. I know that there'll be 1,000 years. And then at the end of that 1,000 years, the adversary is going to be loosed again. The adversary is going to be chained. He's going to be loosed again. He's going to trick the people who have been in the kingdom for 1,000 years. He's going to trick many of them. And there's going to be a final battle, and it's going to be really short. And then all those who didn't stay faithful will be killed. And then the Lord is going to raise all those who did not believe. And they're going to die the second death. And the devil and death itself will be in the lake of fire, and it'll be gone. And then starts the what is called in the Bible paradise. And the kingdom will be delivered back to God. That's a different teaching. So that those two resurrections are going to happen. Go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 37. Lord's been talking about this for a long time. In Ezekiel 37 and verse 1 it says, "And the hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord of Yahweh, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about all. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry." Lots of bones, really dry. "And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest." You know, it's always good not to guess. "And again he said unto me, Prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinew, skin, upon you, and bring you up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin. And I will put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am Yahweh. For I prophesied, so I prophesied, and as I commanded, and as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shakening of the bones came together, bone to its bone. And when I behold, lo, The sinew and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. Then saith he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds and breathe the breath upon the slain, and they shall, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, exceeding great army. And he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. And behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and I will cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and I shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, have spoken it and performed it. Thus saith the Lord. Saith the Lord. This is a pretty detailed record, isn't it? This is going to be the whole house of Israel. You know, that includes you and I, by the way. We are the Israel of God. We are the children of Abraham, part of that promise because of faith. That day is going to happen. And it's going to happen just because God speaks it. It's already been spoken by his prophet. The day will come, the bones will come together, the flesh upon it, the skin on that, and the breath. And he's going to place his spirit upon us. You know, it says Jesus Christ, when Adam, he was made a living soul. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says the second Adam was made a life-quickening spirit. We're going to have a body like unto his glorious body. You got nothing to worry about. You got nothing to fear. When this, our sojourning is done, when this part of our life is over, and we don't see the Lord face to face, we missed it, we won't miss nothing. We go to sleep. When he returns, the dead in Christ will rise. Actually, we get there before the rest of them. And then those which are alive will be changed. Meet the Lord in the air and we'll be forever with the Lord. It's the hope of the resurrection. And without it, there's no hope. There's no nothing. There's no reason to, you know, there's just nothing without this. To understand these things, to put it together, is everything. Gives you the courage to live this life no matter what's thrown at you. Gives you the courage, no matter who's persecuting you, to stand and rejoice in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what he has accomplished and done, even to having to give your life if that day ever came. But the hope of the resurrection, that's really, you got to sink your teeth into this and understand it. So that's what I wanted to share with you today.